I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Clap, 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 clap your hands and stomp your feet. You're listening to the Clap Your Hands podcast, hosted by Elliot Sherparks and Jack Fritz.
Welcome on in. It's a new edition of Clap Your Hands. Jack Fritz alongside Elliot Sherparks as we continue to react to the Embiid-less Sixers.
Yeah.
Not going to lie, Elliot, you know, we started this podcast and we said, we're here to save the Sixers. A lot of podcasts have failed.
It was going good at first.
A lot of podcasts have failed at trying to do that.
Yeah.
And I really felt like we were brought in, much like Nick Nurse, to help put this team over the top.
Yeah.
Not going well.
It's not happening. I think their odds are the lowest they've ever been to win the title.
Ever?
Yeah.
Like, even during the 10-win season or no?
Well, no. I mean, like, I would guess during the Embiid era, it's probably never been much lower than it is now.
Yeah.
They're plus 2,200. Yeah. I mean, I don't know where we're starting. I guess.
Well, I want to start with this. First, tomorrow night.
Yes.
Out at McGurk's in Fort Washington. We're huge McGurk's people. Come hang out. We could have some awesome Coors Light.
Must-win game.
It is a must-win game.
I'm not even kidding.
You can't lose the Hornets.
You can't. If they lose the Hornets, then they really might not win another. They really might go like 1-10 until Embiid gets back.
It is unbelievable. We'll get to that. But event tomorrow night, McGurk's in Fort Washington. If you missed the first event at McGurk's in Horsham, McGurk's is phenomenal. Unbelievable food.
It's the best.
And
egg rolls, banging.
The Coors Light. Dude, I had the lobster mac and cheese.
You did.
Or not the lobster mac and cheese.
It was lobster, like a lobster grilled BLT cheese. Or something.
Lobster grilled cheese. Phenomenal.
Banging. Yeah.
I look forward to that tomorrow. But yeah, so we can talk about Toby over some Coors Lights.
Yeah.
We can complain about the Sixers. Either way, game starts at 7. We'll be there right then. So definitely come hang out. It'll be a great time if you want to talk about the Eagles and Phillies.
Yeah, also, we can talk about other things.
Also on the table.
We'll give the Sixers at least the first quarter.
They get a quarter.
Yeah.
And last time, you gave out a winning parlay.
I did. I gave out a winning parlay.
So we can all gamble together.
Yes.
We can drink beers together.
It'll
and we
fun.
Have great food together. So
yeah.
It sounds like a great time. Back to the Sixers. It is funny how much this feels like watching the process Sixers.
Yeah.
It is like, I thought the Cavs game when they almost won, I felt something. I was like, this is unbelievable. This is so fun.
Well, the Cavs are like almost single-handedly keeping them in it too. By like, they're the only team the Sixers have beaten in the last like month. Or
I know. Twice.
Yeah.
But it's like they compete for three quarters. And then when a team decides, this is over.
Yeah.
They just eviscerate this team.
I will say, so I was watching the Celtics game in Indy at the Combine. And I was actually watching it with the Knicks and a Celtics fan. So they were enjoying that. Yeah. But like, I will give them props. Like, they are trying hard. Like, they are definitely, mm-hmm. I think, getting the best out of what they, other than Toby, he's a separate part. But like, Maxey, I think, has played better. Melton, before he got hurt, looked awesome. Like, I think they're getting the most you could have hoped for. They're just not good enough. Like, we've probably done so many, you know, of this version of the pod, but even just us talking Sixers on air, off air, whatever. Like, there's always a feeling the Sixers are, like, underachieving. I don't think this current group of players, outside of Toby, is is underachieving. They're just, they're not good enough.
They're not good enough.
And they played a tough schedule.
Yes.
That's why I think the I still want to call them the Bobcats sometimes. That's why.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like the Bobcats at least is like a hundred.
I don't know. I remember old. Emeka Okafor. Yeah. I think I had an Emeka Okafor Bobcats jersey.
Gerald Wallace. Raymond Felton.
Another one. But that's why I think you have to win on Friday because they're arguably, even in their current state, better than the Hornets. But I do think the tough thing.
I'm not sure.
In all seriousness, if this roster played 82 games, I don't think they would be like a play-in team. Like they might be like the 10, but they would not be.
Well, and the biggest indictment off of that, because I agree with you, like they're probably a 30-some win basketball team.
Yeah, I don't even know if they'd get there. I mean, 30s. We've seen this team win what, 4 games in like 20 tries.
Sure. Okay. Maybe they're worse than 30. I don't know. But that was always what I pushed back against with the Maxey's a superstar. They could trade Embiid and build around Maxey. It's like, this is what it looks like.
Yes.
I'm just letting you know, like, this is what it looks like.
So,
Maxey's, like, I thought Maxey against the Celtics shows a lot to me. Like, I thought he competed his ass off defensively. I'd never seen him chirp that much.
Yeah, there was some player, I think it was and one, where he was really
well, there's no smiles.
Yeah.
The smiles are out.
Yeah.
And I think he's kind of taking this whole leadership thing seriously.
I agree.
And it's actually an interesting like Hurts conversation.
Let's hear it.
Well, it's just like the Eagles want Hurts to be more vocal.
Yes.
Right? And they want him to, you know, the locker room is kind of, and by the way, the whole Hurts thing also a factor into it is if you lose Kelsey, BG and Lane or Fletcher,
there's more of a leadership.
You need to be like, they need to be an alternative quarterback. He can't be reclusive. He can't be by himself. And it seems like Maxey, he's talked about, like, I want to be the guy.
Like, Maxey is very different. Like, Maxey seems very outgoing.
Right.
Just from, even if they weren't professional players. Like, I think Maxey, like, wherever he worked would be, like, the fun guy that everyone loved to be around.
But I think he's transitioning from fun guy to serious guy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Which has to happen.
Yeah.
I appreciate the happiness. I appreciate, like, fun, loving, love playing the sport. But, like, I think there's a different thing when it comes down to being the guy.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a different level of seriousness.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And I agree with you against Boston. Like, you know, I couldn't hear the audio of, like, what people were saying. But just, like, watching his body language, he seemed like a fired-up version of Maxey that you don't see often.
Right. And he, I mean, he got a couple steals on some of those. I think it might have been Jaylen Brown on one of them.
Well, I do think he's passing the ball better.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was watching with a Celtics fan. Dude. They hate Jaylen. Like the Jaylen Brown can't dribble thing is like a real thing for Celtics fans. Like he brought it up like 15 times during the game.
So the Celtics are clearly good. It is so funny how like they are viewed in Boston versus how they're viewed from the outside.
Yep.
Because I listen to a good amount of Boston sports radio.
Obviously.
They are so mad all the time about the Celtics.
Yeah.
It's like, so basically like the one host was mad that they went inside against the Sixers because like, I've been asking that for 2 years. Like it took you to
like,
you guys
mean, like going into the paint.
Yeah, like because he thinks all they do is shoot threes.
Right, right.
And he's like this group of losers finally figured out like you have to get to the rim and 2-point shots.
Like a very Boston sports dude, radio
was,
take.
It was this team's lost what 14 games on the year.
Yep.
And miserable up there. But the Jaylen Brown, I think. If I was a Celtics fan, would drive me nuts.
Yeah,
like
I agree.
Never.
Well, especially he's making like you know $60 million a year or whatever.
He never passes the basketball.
Nope.
Like never passes.
He really can't dribble.
And he really can't dribble.
That is what's frustrating. I will say now the Bucks laid the Sixers out. Like that was ugly. But the East really is just so wide open that's what's like keeping me from completely just like burying the Sixers.
Dude, the East is so wide open. That people are still like, maybe the Heat.
Yeah, exactly.
The
Heat what like, about the Pacers?
Like, I know.
Yeah.
Good win last night against the Pelicans.
You're Indiana Pacers.
You're Indiana Pacers.
I was in Indy watching a Pacers game. I should have gone to the stadium.
You should have.
Yeah.
You should have.
Yeah.
You could have seen Halliburton. Only 24, by the way.
Wow. People don't say that a lot.
People don't talk about his age enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, They're just
not good enough.
They're not.
It is what it is. Like,
but it's not that they're just not good enough. And this has been developing into my biggest fear with the Sixers. And it's kind of been his track record. My biggest fear with the Sixers now and going forward is I don't know if Daryl Morey could evaluate a winning basketball player.
You've been thinking this or saying this for a little while
to save his life. Like they have, like the fact that he thinks that Buddy Hield was the best player traded at the deadline.
Well, Buddy is. fallen off a cliff.
He sure has, which is, you know.
Buddy Ball has not been very good with Toby on the court.
I might have jumped out a little bit too far into the Oklahoma Buddy thing.
Yeah. Well, early on, he was playing with that attitude.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's just, by the way, like, I'm actually glad that Maxey is back to kind of looking more like the alpha, because I think that's more important than Buddy Hield maybe being the alpha. But, like, Buddy Hield, like, he had 13 points, I think, against Boston. Like, outside of the first minute where he hit two threes, didn't do squat.
Yep,
like,
especially in the fourth.
Like, didn't do anything.
Yep.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bias Harris. Like, it's the Toby thing. He's always been a player. This is the worst.
All right, well, so you want to talk about Toby now?
Let's get the Toby discussion out.
So it feels a little like I'm yelling into a void, because I know everybody just feels this way. But it really can't be stated enough what a disappointment it has been. I think that Toby, for a lot of his career here, you could make the argument was miscast slightly. Like, Embiid was the number one guy, and then there was always some iteration of number two, whether it was Jimmy, Ben Simmons, Tyrese, like James Harden. So Toby has always been in that position where I think like Toby's best version of himself is probably like being on a 20-win Kings team where he gets to like play ISO ball.
The old Kings.
Yeah, all right, yeah. The old Kings, sorry. But what they've always needed Toby to do that he's never done, and it's especially true now, is like, Toby, man, when they need you to get a bucket, like, you have to be ready. And I'm sure it's hard when Embiid and Maxey, and then, you know, Harden, Ben, Jimmy, like, to just be sitting there and all of a sudden it's like, all right, we need you to go, right? But right now, you know, going into these games that you can be the number one guy. Like, I know Maxey is, but Maxey is the point guard. Maxey is, as we've talked about, is very willing to, like, you know, pass the ball and take a back seat. And Toby has just been a complete no-show. And that's the most disappointing part, is when he's the third wheel, you can kind of forgive him a little bit, because, like, you know, Embiid's there and there's a number two. But this is the time where he's supposed to step up and be the guy. And when you have such a large portion of your salary cap committed to someone that's giving you literally nothing, then that, like, this is what, these are their results. And So I think Toby's always been viewed as a disappointment, but there was reasons to move it, like, to take away that criticism. There's none right now. He is completely and utterly dropping the ball.
Totally. And the thing about Toby is, it's so funny. You can almost see in his eyes when it's like, it's me time. And then when he tries to be, it's like, I'm going to take over.
He looks out of it, though, too. Like, to your point about Maxey looking like so dialed in competitively, Toby looks like he's not enjoying being out on the court.
No, well, Toby's a shrinker. Like, when it comes to big moments, like, he's I don't think he wants to be out there. Like, I think if and you're in the final 3 minutes of a game six, game seven, and you have a chance to close out a series, like, I don't think Tobias Harris wants the basketball.
And I think Maxey, he might be able to do it, but I think he enjoys the moment of getting the basket.
I think he's learning how to. I think he's learning.
Yeah.
I think Embiid going out, my optimistic view of Embiid going out is Maxey learning how to be one of the alphas on the team.
Yep.
And I thought the Boston game,
win loss record's not going great for
that. Not going great for that. But it's also like, it doesn't really matter, you know, because when he's back, when Embiid's back, they turn into one of the best teams in the sport again.
If he's Embiid.
If he's Embiid. Yeah. But, like, it's not even about this year. It's about going forward. Like, he's 23. I think he's learning right now how to kind of do it. This is going to be a good learning experience for him. Growth mindset. I know you're a huge fan of your football team.
Yes.
So I think that this is an important developmental curve for Maxi. And I think when we're looking back, when he's like, maybe when his career's over, I think he could say that this is the portion where he developed into one of those guys.
But the reason that has to happen and the reason it's happening is because the guy that makes three times as much as him, or more than that, is like just giving them nothing. It's absurd. And so I think like the question is, what do you do now? Like that is really the next question, because he's here. The contract's going to expire. He should be someone that's one of your best players. He's obviously not. Like, do you bench him? Do you just not play him in meaningful moments? And then there's two iterations of the team. Like, while Embiid is gone, right now, you kind of, although he's been so bad, I can't say you need him, but, like, he's such a ball stopper, too.
Yes.
Like, that's what really, like, so Batum said this recently, and he was talking about, we can't just count on Maxi to score 50 points. Like, we can't be a one-pass, one-shot team. And he's talking about Oubre, I think, to an extent. But Toby, like, that's who he's talking.
End campaign.
In campaign,
all they do is have a bunch of
ISO ball. Like that's all they do. They don't move the ball as well. And so, I think, like I said, Maxi's been better at getting the ball to move around. But what would you do with Toby? Like, so you're Nick Nurse. You know he's playing really poorly. But at the same time, like, I mean, now Melton's out again. Like, I don't know what you do.
Yeah, I think he's just gonna play him.
Like I think I will say that I think the idea that Toby's going to get cut his minutes is wrong. I don't think it's going to happen in the playoffs. I don't think it's going to happen here.
It might happen in crunch time, though.
I don't know.
Well, I think it's interesting because, I mean, the Warriors literally finally benched Klay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if the Warriors feel okay benching Klay.
But the Warriors are a better run organization than the Sixers.
Look at that. Wow.
Well, they won like five titles.
I know. But yeah, so if the Warriors feel comfortable bringing Klay off the bench, I think we can bring Toby off the bench.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm way more interested to see what Ricky Council can do. Like I think what the Sixers have to decide is what is our goal of this year now?
Right.
You know, because is it more important to see what Ricky Council can develop into, see what some of these guys than like running Toby out?
So I think their goal still very much is to win this year.
You sure though?
Yes.
Because Pat Bev has been pretty.
So Pat Bev, yeah, he's definitely backtracked a little. And I don't think he's wrong in the way that the assets that they have, they are saving for the offseason. I think that's true. But I think like when it comes to coaching and like playing, look, we just did this with the Eagles. Nick Sirianni and Howie just talked about how they probably should have played their young guys more last year.
Because he drafted them.
Right. I don't think the Sixers are at a point right now where...
Oh, what young guys did he want them to play?
Nolan Smith.
Okay, that's one.
That's a big one. He was a first-round pick.
Okay, who else?
Yeah. I don't know. Keeley played once they were hurt.
He played.
I think he's basically talking about Nolan Smith.
Okay, so it's just Nolan Smith.
Nolan Smith. Might suck.
Yeah, we'll
might
see.
Suck. But we don't know for sure. It's so sad when he was like, he had a good game against the Bucks. It's like, yeah.
Dude, all right. So he had it. Okay. He was fine against the Bucks. He also, instead of trying to tackle a guy on an end around,
tripped him. Yeah.
So,
yeah. No, I agree.
Like, relax.
Who's a brighter future, Ricky Council or Nolan Smith?
Ricky Council.
But I think the Sixers right now are not coaching from a perspective of development. Like, I think they're playing Ricky Council because he's been legitimately like one of their best, like, five players or whatever. Toby has not been, but I still think that they are so committed to him financially for the rest of the year, and I don't think it should matter. But like, I just don't think they're gonna bench him. I think like he's a leader on the team too. Like, I think there's
sick.
He does the whole like dumb thing before the game where he looks around and like. So I mean, he clearly is like a vocal leader in that locker room. I don't know how that goes over if you bench him. Your point about Klay is good, but they're a better run franchise,
right?
So like.
But like even the Toby thing, the fact that we're here again, you know, it's part of why the Morey fear comes back to me. Like Toby could have been gone at the deadline, it could have been gone last year. Like to keep running it back with Toby, Harden, loser, like Mo Bamba, like all these guys.
Yeah.
Like they just don't play winning basketball.
Campaign.
Campaign,
sure.
Yes.
Buddy.
Buddy, yes. Yeah. Like, it's just, it's the roster is just littered with these. With Kelly Oubre.
The tough thing, too, is they're really slipping down the standings. I guess we'll get that at the end of this conversation. But where I was going with that was, like, there was a while where you were thinking that when Embiid comes back, they're set up well. I think it was maybe two pods ago we were optimistic.
Yes.
It was a different time. Do you still feel like when Embiid is back, they have enough pieces around him?
Mostly.
Because Lowry's been better, I think, than we anticipated.
Yeah. I mean, the Knicks game was really good. Celtics, he's kind of just out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And maybe when Embiid's back, it'll make more sense. I do think Embiid obviously changed a lot. And I think
he's coming back soon.
You think he's coming back soon?
I think he's coming back soon.
I wonder at what point if they would consider shutting him down.
I don't think there's... I think there's a 0.0% chance.
What if it's going to come down to, and I wonder if it gets this bad. I guess it could. Would you rather be like the 9-10 seed and play Embiid
right.
for a play-in, or would you rather just sit him and try to get the highest pick?
And tank.
Because I think that's going to be a real discussion, and I think it should be.
Yeah.
Because they don't have all their first-round picks going forward. I mean, I know they've done better about it.
Right.
But they have their first-round pick this year. And I know it's not a great draft class, according to Twitter.
So I don't know, I was going to say. I'd love to hear your take on the draft class. But here's a question. Like, would you rather, I guess this is kind of your question, only a little more specific. Would you rather have a top 10 pick or be like, make it to the second round again? You don't know what's going to happen in the second round.
I would rather make it the second round.
I think so, too. I think you have, as long as you have Embiid, you can't.
Well, and the other thing is, like, I don't think he would go for it. I think Embiid... saying that he's healthy, like if he's coming back and his knee still isn't 100%, like I would just shut him down. If his knee's 100%, it's just conditioning.
Yeah,
I think he's fine going out there, and he wouldn't go for it again because he apparently seems as if he's very concerned about what people are saying about him.
Yeah, for sure. Well, did you see the Pat Bev thing where he was talking about
Pat Bev noted? Now he's like the number one NBA podcaster.
Yeah, he's also
there.
Like the number one source for Sixers info. Feels like outside of clap your hands.
Yeah,
but he was saying how before Denver. I'm paraphrasing here, Embiid was kind of like, I got to get to 65 games, whatever.
Yeah, that was an interesting quote because we played it, and I couldn't tell if he was thinking that's what Embiid was thinking.
Or if Embiid said
it. Or if Embiid was talking to him about
it. Yeah. My initial read on it was that that's what Embiid said.
It was too, but...
But I'm fine with that too. Like, I'm fine with Embiid pushing to try to play.
Yeah,
I'm
but the only problem with it is, because Pat Bev also said that, he told him to sit 2 weeks earlier, mm-hmm. and that his knee was hanging on by a thread. So,
nice.
Which seems a little dramatic.
Well, I was also like when Pat Bev was talking about the spray they put on his knee.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'd love to know what the, like,
the
a
numbing spray.
Yeah,
that's where he can't. Couldn't
dude, as someone
anything.
That just had like my mouth numb recently, it's a weird feeling. I can't imagine having your knee numb.
But you can't even feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I was literally like touching my face, and it was like I wasn't even.
Have you recovered from the?
I am mostly recovered. Mostly.
Good.
Yeah. The bottom one still hurts a little bit, but it's not even a pain. It's like a, an uncomfortableness.
What's just funny is like, it feels like the, like that surgery just changed so much. Like,
for me, it changed my life.
No, I'm talking about like just wisdom teeth surgery in general.
Yeah. Well, like, first of all,
you've bounced back pretty well. Like,
I
again,
agree.
Back
you.
In the day when people got it, they were out of commission.
Yeah. I didn't miss any work.
Because you're a warrior.
I'm a warrior. Exactly.
Because you're a
right.
warrior. But yeah, I just, I wonder if it gets to a point where there's like a...
Well, let's look at their next...
We'll sit you down.
Let's look at their next few games.
The good part is the last five games are absolute cake that are essentially preseason
that's
games.
What the Eagles said. Just putting it out there. I mean, it's what the Eagles said.
That was Goddard's
idea. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they have the Hornets.
Yes.
That has to be a win. Is that home?
Tomorrow.
It is at home. All right. So they're home versus the Hornets. That has to be a win. They go to Dallas. That's probably a loss. To Brooklyn?
Should be a win.
Okay.
Maybe.
I think that's probably a loss if I had to guess. And then the Grizzlies here, that has to be a win. Like, it's sad to say, but I think you have to at least go 2-2 in the next four games. Because you have the Pelicans, which is, you know.
Pelicans are good.
But then you have the Knicks in a back-to-back. You're probably losing both of those. The Bucks, probably a loss, obviously, based on what happened this past weekend. The Hornets have to win that one, and then it gets hard again. You have the Heat, but then you go West, the Suns, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Kings, the Clippers, the Cavs.
Ugh.
Like,
ugh.
They could realistically only win like three or four more games in that stretch.
Until,
so like, and two of them have to come in this next four.
Yeah.
I don't think we set high goals on this pod.
Yeah.
But 2-2 in the next four. I need it.
Stay 500.
Yeah.
Stay 500. Yeah. It's a dire time.
So
it's fascinating to see how the fan base has handled the Sixers.
I think real quick. I think Embiid comes back. If I had to guess, home versus the Cavaliers on March 29th. I don't think he plays the West Coast trip.
No.
So I would say the 29th versus the Cavs would be like the target.
And then the playoffs start April 16th.
So you have like 2 weeks.
Right.
Although Nick Nurse was saying, I guess this would qualify as that, but he was almost talking like they're going to have like multiple weeks.
Yeah.
Two, I don't really consider multiple.
Well,
I know it is technically multiple, but for me, multiple starts at three.
Well,
say 2 weeks.
That's like when people try to tell me, you know, like 1 a.m. is really is the morning.
Yeah, it's not.
That's
the
still the night. The morning doesn't start till 3.
In my opinion, the morning starts once you go to sleep.
Well, sure.
Like if I'm up at 4 a.m., I wouldn't be like.
But that's not still the next night. You still think that's the morning.
No, I think if it's 4 a.m., I still would consider that the same night.
No way.
What? The day didn't like.
No, but I'm saying like.
I get that it is the
post
morning.
Post 3 a.m. is the morning. Pre 3 a.m. still the
I think
night.
It depends what you're doing. Like if you're out at a bar and you're still up drinking at 4 a.m., then I think that's the night.
When's the last time you did that?
It's been a while. I'm just
what
saying.
What if you're going to the airport at 4 a.m.?
Well, again, you will have woken up. So I think like the morning is when you wake up and the night ends when you go to sleep. I think it's very clear. Like, what are you going to say that you stayed up all night into the morning? I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, all right. So next Thursday. Right, I'll be driving to the airport at 4 a.m.
Why?
Because we're going to Clearwater.
Oh, you're going to be there Thursday and Friday?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, we fly back.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Sound of the crack of the bat.
Oh, man. It's popping.
I do think, like, this sounds corny, but it is true. Like, the sounds of baseball. Actually, I have an opinion.
For okay, great. Is it a baseball opinion?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I know. So I think the Phillies really benefit from starting when the weather gets
correct.
Nicer. Like, I don't think people could be mad at the Phillies.
Uh-uh.
Like, because when you're starting off and you're in Clearwater, you're on vacation, it's warm. Like, where's the Sixers start? And it's like, it's getting cold. It's
the
dark
Eagles
earlier.
Season's
exactly.
Crumbling.
Yeah, exactly. The Phillies, I think the where on the calendar they play impacts so much how people treat them.
No, well, and
even just like going to a game, it's like, you know, it's nice out. You're like drinking, having a Coors Light. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And again, baseball for most people doesn't matter until like September.
Right.
And then it's just like, and then it's just a ramp up period. No sport goes from zero to like, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Like baseball.
Like regular season playoff baseball.
But where I was going with this was, I will say the sounds of baseball starting, like Howard Eskin tweeted this, I think it was such a good observation. The sound of even just like them walking across the pavement.
Oh, the cleats.
Yeah.
The spikes.
Yeah. And then like the sound of the bat.
Tell you what. If you want to start, the smell of the grass.
Yeah.
If you want me to start welling up on this podcast, I will.
Talk about baseball.
Dude, it's great. Well, I actually agree with you, though. I actually have 100% agreement. Because think about it. Like the opening days / opening nights that I feel like we look forward to the most are baseball and football.
Yep.
Because football, it's like football, obviously. But it's also like fall, early fall. Like you're coming off the summer, whatever. It's a good portion. Phillies, you're coming out of the cold.
Like you can't help but feel up, even just watching the game. It's like, because everyone there is sunny, they're on vacation.
Smiling.
Like who's going to a spring training game on vacation and is sitting there in the stands and being like, ugh, this bullpen's not good enough. Like everyone's just having fun there.
Yeah,
I feel like the Sixers, it's like the season starts, it's like October, like November.
I wonder if the NBA would ever consider, well, they should, like just starting the season, I guess, later so they could try to dominate the summer or try to
what if they played outside. Well,
if
it's nice out, that's what I'm saying.
Well, what's the season be 40 games?
I'm saying you could play some of them outside.
Would you start the season on Christmas? Talk about joyful.
Yeah, I think that would be a good one.
Joyful, hopeful.
That's a good point. I think from a vibe perspective, starting on Christmas would be good.
Yeah, start on Christmas.
Really need Embiid to come back.
And then you end the season right before football in like August.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, just change everything. I mean, football's already going to take over Christmas.
Football's going to take over everything.
I can't wait for... Yeah.
Until basketball, though.
I can't wait. Yeah, right. Yeah. I can't wait until, like, Christmas falls on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, and the NFL's still like, we'll just
play. Yeah, agreed.
Who cares?
Look, they're playing in Brazil on a Friday.
I know. So. They don't care anymore.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Ricky Council is giving me life, though. I will watch the Sixers for Ricky Council.
Yeah.
He is athletic. He cares. He plays hard. Has a surprising touch around the rim. Can't shoot.
It's been a little upsetting for me that Turk wasn't the guy that popped off.
Sure.
It's got to also be hard for both of them. Well, more so for him, I guess. Like, you come up with this guy. You both are like, all right, here we're going to go. And Ricky's playing all the time, and Turk just never plays.
Right.
It's got to be tough.
I will say, 16 is a bad number.
I'm in on 16.
It's not an NBA number. Like 16's a.
Can you think of the last Sixer that was 16? I'm almost positive I know who it was, or at least the one I think of the most.
No.
Maurice Spates or Spates.
Spates.
Yeah.
Spates.
Yeah, I think he was 16.
Most Beasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who could forget?
I think it was 16. I'm pretty sure.
You are. It was 16.
I'm sure there's been a 16 since then because he's. But
who could forget he was on the first Warriors team, the first Warriors championship
team. That's right. That's right.
He was special. What did you think about asking Celtics fans about the in-city arena or downtown arena?
It was not good.
I feel like the Sixers, and I think people are also on high alert with the Sixers at all
times.
Yeah,
they're definitely in a place right now where they can do no good.
It feels like they have no idea how to connect with the city.
It does feel like they miss consistently.
They're always disconnected. Like, I know the Phillies got rid of Dollar Dog Night today. So
which, by the way, I'm fine with.
Are really worked up about it.
Dollar Dog Night was insane last year. But regardless, I think the Sixers, and it's a shame because we've had this debate, like the Phillies like never win outside the last 2 years. And they're viewed as like this like fun-go-lucky team. And I do think messaging helps. Like the Sixers, it just, to your point about the Celtics video, and did you see that the guy retweeted it? Like the David Edelman or whatever?
Oh, nice.
There was a tweet like mocking it, and I don't think he picked up on it, and he retweeted it.
Oh,
so,
good.
Good job by him.
That's awesome.
But no, I agree. The city, they do have trouble. And I think there's just because there's so much baggage. Like people are just mad about all the losing. So I agree with you on that.
It was just a weird look.
Yeah, it was a weird look.
It was like, oh, man, sweet. So let's take the opinion of Celtics fans.
Kerry, I don't know if we've talked about this on the pod. Like, where do you fall on the whole stadium thing?
I know this is, like, going to sound – I don't care.
Okay, nice.
Like, put it – like
215.
Put it wherever. Like, I don't know if it's going to deter me from going or not. Like, I'll go when I want to go. But I'm also in my current state where, like, I'm working all the time and I have Walker.
Right.
And, like,
going to a game anyway.
I'm not going to a game anyway. I will say the $2.5 billion like renovation plans down. It looks cool. It got
Where's Citizens Bank Park there? Am I missing
That's what I kept looking at. Like, where's the Link and where's CBP?
Yeah, like, did they not?
It's just the Sixers Stadium downtown. I think everything else is staying in the complex.
This is weird. They didn't include the like. I can't picture it. If that makes sense.
Right. No. So this is what they did downtown. They are at the sports complex. Right. They put out a $2.5 billion like idea.
Yeah. Did you see this?
Okay. Yeah. So, like, but I couldn't.
It came out yesterday.
I couldn't find the Link, and I couldn't find Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah,
and I couldn't tell if it was also the Navy Yard. Like,
and
was
like,
it down on
there
the
was
Navy
like
Yard?
A huge hotel, like right on Broad, I think.
Yeah. So it's weird, but also, where are people going? Like, I don't. If it happens, and they put tailgating in garages, that's also a disaster.
By the way, if it happens, it'll be because of the World Cup. I really
think
it
won't be done by 2026.
But no, but I think like the pressure around the World Cup to renovate, I think will help.
Sure.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the World Cup here.
Like
if there's international fans coming down to the sports
Xfinity
complex.
Yeah. So here's my take on the stadium, since I guess this is where we'll go with it. Like, I think the cool thing is to be like, yeah, build it downtown. I like having all the stadiums in South.
So do I.
I think it's
cool.
In a cool
perfect world, I hope they stay.
Yeah. I think like it's cool having them all close to each other. Downtown stadiums are awesome. Like there is a coolness to it, and it would be new, it would be like first class and all that. But it, I think if you could, if I could pick my ideal like outcome, it would be like to renovate South Philly sports complex area and have them all still be there. I think it's really cool they're all there.
By the way, Buddy Hield had 6 points against the Celtics. I said 13 earlier.
You're a little off.
I was a little off. And those all came in the first minute, by the way.
Nice.
The first minute when he had back-to-back threes. I would like for it to stay there, and I would like for them to make it as like sick as possible.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're going to stay there.
No, I think they're going to get the stadium.
They're going to find some way to get out of there because they can't. I don't think that they can even advertise their own stuff like in the Wells Fargo Center.
No.
Like, that's all flyers.
Well, do you remember where they did that thing for a little bit where they put the Wells Fargo logo on the court in like white so you couldn't really see it?
Yeah.
I respect that level of pettiness to an extent.
They're pretty petty organization.
Yeah. Man, this team needs some juice.
They need some juice. I actually brought this up on High Hopes with Seltzer. I'm curious what you think.
Excited.
So I think we're going to get a new Sixers arena.
Yes.
Eventually somewhere, whether it's
at Wells within Fargo. 5 years, I think they'll be playing or whatever. It'll be resolved.
Do you think we'll get another Eagle Stadium in your lifetime?
Yes. In my lifetime?
In your lifetime, yeah. Do you think that we have another baseball stadium?
No.
I don't think so either.
I do. I think Citizens Bank Park is aged like a fine wine.
It's perfect.
It is the best. Like, this is my whole PNC thing. Everyone loves PNC.
You've never even been to PNC.
I don't have to be there. I've seen it. I've seen a picture.
You are so annoying.
Like, I just hate.
When you do this, it is annoying.
I just hate when people do the whole, like, they go like, ugh, PNC, like, it's such a beautiful ballpark. You can see the river. Like, who cares? Like PNC never hosts any important games.
So what?
Because that matters. Like, you're the one that talks about the environment of Citizens Bank all the time.
By the way, you're just not going to bring up the 2013 wildcard game when they're chanting.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That was the most important game I ever played there. But I actually read an entire book on that season.
What?
The Pittsburgh Pirates.
Why?
I went a big kick of reading baseball books. Probably like a year straight, I read like nothing but baseball books.
Why? That's interesting.
I read like a Harper biography. Okay. I read like Astro Ball. I read one on the Pirates.
You read Astro Ball?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Were you really bored?
No, I loved it.
What were you doing?
I got really into baseball for a while.
Before you knew me, obviously.
I think it was like, like we worked together, but we weren't, like, I didn't know you well yet.
Right.
Yeah. But that time.
When I was still doing Counterpoint.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know where I was going with this. Oh,
PNC Park. How trash you think?
I think Citizens Bank Park is easily the best stadium in
Philly?
Yeah, like the Link is not aged well.
No.
The Wells Fargo has no personality. Citizens Bank, I think they could play like baseball there for the next 20 years, and I think it would always be one of the best ballparks.
I agree. I said this, I was like, I'd be surprised. And honestly, I don't want another ballpark. Like,
no, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they.
I do. I would be very curious of the Eagles' next stadium.
I think it's going to have a roof.
And I would be upset. I just want, I want to be, the Link, I feel like, does not get loud.
I agree. I don't think the Link is a great home field advantage.
No.
Like, it's fine. Like, and Eagles fans are awesome, but I just, there's nothing.
Dude, like the Vet shook, man.
Yeah.
Like, the Link has shook, I think, like, twice. The Patrick Robinson interception and the Lito return and the 44-6 game when Ozelle Johansson brought it back, like, not easy.
What about when they beat the Niners without Brock Purdy?
There was no juice.
No shaking.
What about when they beat Daniel Jones and the Giants before?
Yeah, yeah. That playoff run has not aged well.
Well, it's just like, they didn't beat anyone.
Yeah,
you know, like,
true.
They beat the Niners is great. It was just, there's like a little bit of like, I wonder what happens if Purdy plays.
Yeah.
Which the Niners has said all offseason. Last thing before we get out of here, do you think that Tobias Harris is deserving of a standing ovation on Friday?
All right, so here's my opinion on the standing ovation thing. I don't want it to become a thing.
Me either.
Like, I've heard more and more media members talk about it, and we need to squelch it.
Yes.
No, you brought it up, and we'll talk about it. And if you're listening at this point, you're a certified real one. So, but
see,
like,
see you Friday at McGurk.
Exactly. Yeah. But like, the ovation thing only worked for Trey Turner.
Yes.
And it's gonna be a joke. Blah blah blah. But, like, if we're going to do it, you have to save it for somebody other than Toby.
Tobias Harris is an expiring contract.
Yeah.
Who has had 5 years of disappointment.
Yes.
Who.
Yeah. Trey Turner thing is very different.
Trey Turner thing was a perfect storm as to why it worked. He's probably going to turn it around.
I also don't think, like, it impacts Toby. Like, I do think Trey Turner felt the pressure.
I think Toby would be like, what the
fuck? I don't, yeah.
What?
It's going to be so funny when, like, 12 people do it, and then, like, there's video of it, and it becomes, yeah. Oh,
they're gonna look like such dorks.
I think you need to issue an official statement on Twitter.
They're going
to
look like such dorks,
yeah, I think
man.
You need to issue an official statement on Twitter about it.
Please don't do that.
Yeah, official standing ovation guy.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it.
No, yeah. Wrong guy.
Yeah.
So, and listen, the key to a standing ovation, like Spike, again, you know, took a lot of the ideas.
Of Ike and Company?
Yes, of Ike and Company. he took back Zach for Zach Wilson.
Oh, did
up,
he?
Up in New York, tried to organize standing ovation.
Yeah.
Gotta pick the right horse.
You really lucked out with that.
Yes.
Yeah, you really couldn't have worked out better for you.
Well, the good part is that the stock has fallen in the last 6 months. It's been a roller coaster ride for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, your Q ratings taking.
Yeah, the Q ratings going up and down.
Yeah.
But guess what? It's about to be Philly season, so we're back on the
yeah, I was gonna say
back on the back upward up. Trajectory.
Yes, and it'll be Sixers playoff season.
Yep. What do you think about Kellen Moore?
Yeah, oh God, it was so good. What do you think about Kellen Moore? Yeah, I need it on a sweater.
Yeah.
What do you think of Kellen Moore as offensive coordinator?
Are we allowed to joke about that yet, or no?
I think so.
Like we can't.
I
let...
think at this point, anyone listening I mean, is
oh my gosh,
not mad at you about
deep
it.
Breaths.
Like it was a funny question.
It was a funny question. Can you just laugh? It's okay.
Yeah, it was
not everything has to be so serious.
But did you mean it as an icebreaker?
No.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
I was literally curious.
I know, yeah.
It felt like a down portion of the interview.
Yeah, it felt like you were moving on.
And I was like, oh, it feels like
and we AJ was not ready to move on.
Well, hold on. He answered the question. I just want that to be pointed out.
You're
he,
right.
He did answer the question.
We should write an article, AJ, on how he feels about Kellen Moore as offensive coordinator.
He answered the question.
He did.
That's my final take. Listen, hand up. Not the best, but listen.
You did a good job.
Hey, either win or you learn.
Exactly right.
And that's,
that's what the Sixers are doing right now. Not a lot of winning.
They're learning, though.
They're learning.
Maxie's learning. It's all that matters.
Yes.
All that matters. Well, come hanging out with us, Fort Washington, McGurk's, tomorrow night. Sixers, Hornets. We'll have a great time, great food, and we'll drink some Coors Lights for sure.
And they'll win.
Oh. For Elliot Sherparks and Jack Fritz, it's been another edition of Black.